Praise God. I think I can speak for everyone here that this has been a wonderful feast. We have communicated with each other. We've eaten together. We've played together. We've prayed together. We have truly been rejoicing before the Lord. We also have heard God's word. We have been given some spiritual milk, and we have been given some spiritual meat, and we have ascended toward the top of the mountain. But very shortly, we will be going back to our homes to live in our ordinary, everyday situation of life. And the question is, will we continue to grow, or will we slowly drift away from what we have learned and experienced here at the feast? You know, when we are born, we all start out as babies. And as babies, we are expected to grow. It is also true, likewise, that when we accept God as our Savior, as we give our life to Jesus, and we become Christians, we are expected to grow. There are many here that when you came to this feast, you were already an adult in Christ. There are some who come to this feast who were, as shall we say, teenagers when they came to the feast. And there were some who came who were still babes in Christ. And it is expected that all of us shall grow. Hopefully we have. May I use the Apostle Peter to demonstrate what I mean. Before Peter became a follower of Jesus, he was a fisherman. And during, as far as we know, he had no experience or contact with Jesus before he became a follower. But in the 3.5 years that he walked with and talked with our Lord and Savior, we learned some things about Peter. First of all, we find that he apparently had a very hot temper, probably uncontrollable. He acted on impulse without regard of what the consequences should be. Do you remember when they come to take Jesus away to be crucified? Peter actually cut off one of the soldiers' ears. Do you remember when he was in the ship and he jumped into the sea and was walking on the water toward Jesus? But he looked around him and he saw the sea and he realized that what he was doing was impossible. And he began to sink. Fortunately, he was close enough that Jesus grabbed him and saved him. Remember Peter when Christ started washing the disciples' feet? He blatantly said, "You shall never wash my feet." Peter was then not quite grown up. But that was before Peter grew up. Let's take a look at Peter after he matured. It was Peter that shortly after Christ's ascension that he sort of took charge of the rest of the disciples. It was under Peter's leadership that the disciples chose another disciple to replace Judas. It was Peter who stood up at Pentecost and made it straight to the people that the followers of Jesus were not drunk. It was Peter who healed the crippled man and made it possible for him to walk again, and then boldly proclaimed to the Pharisees and the rulers and the elders that it was through Jesus Christ of Nazareth whom they crucified that this man was able to walk again. This was Peter after he matured. You see, Peter did not remain a babe in Christ. He did not remain a teenager in Christ. He grew up in wisdom and in power. Peter spread the gospel where he was. And that is exactly what is expected of us, that we spread the gospel where we are. That is what is expected of us. We have been here at the feast, and we are expected to grow up. We have to remember, you know, that Jesus himself had to grow up. Isn't it said of him that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man? If he had to grow up, surely to goodness, we Christians have room for a lot of growth. If you are a child in Christ, you need more nourishment. You need to read your Bible, and you need to get involved in the church. If you are a teenager, you need to continue with what you have experienced and learned here at the feast. You need to love everybody, and you need to continue to read the Bible and educate yourself. If you're an adult, what are you waiting for? You have your commission. It is recorded in Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 19th and 20th verse. It reads, and I quote, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Unquote. There's one big problem. How do we do this? How do we go and teach and baptize in all nations? Quite frankly, I don't know. I do know a good place to start. We can start by leaving this feast and going home and living as much like Jesus as we possibly can. We need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We should not condemn them. We should pray for them. And then, as much as possible, let them see Jesus in us. Sorry. If doors should open for you to do bigger and better things, then go through these doors. Continue to pray for, to demonstrate, to forgive your fellow man. If we will do these things, when Jesus returns, in all his power and glory and with all his angels, we will hear him say to us, "You don't know what he's going to say to us, do you? And you think I don't know what he's going to say to us. You think I've forgotten what I was going to say. And you're right. But I have notes here, and I'll tell you what he said." I didn't look at him and forgot again. He will say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy the place that I have prepared for you." Can there be any sweeter words in the world? Can there be any words that cause more joy and excitement than to hear your Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, and all things in, above, and below the heavens and the earth, your Lord and Savior, say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy the place that I have prepared for you. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.